the Maryland News Network. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. Over the next hour, we'll bring you the latest high school sports news and discussions from around the state.
And welcome into High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network. I am Glenn Clark. He is Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com. Wick, another big week in high school football as we are really getting down to the end of the regular season here. Let's recap what happened. I know you had five games that you had circled last week, so let's run through them. In fact, let's begin Calvert County, shall we?
Sure.
When North Point took on Northern.
It ended North Point 45, Northern 21, and North Point now remains as the only undefeated team in the Southern Maryland Athletic Conference.
There was North Carolina and Kent Island out on the shore.
Yeah, and this is one we're going to talk about a little bit later, but North Carolina 35, Kent Island 14. North Carolina's also remaining as the lone undefeated team on the Bayside.
The most important game in the history of high school football.
A little biased.
On every level of football that was played anywhere in the world this weekend. Hey, I know what happened, but tell me again because I like hearing
it. Are you sure you don't want to read it? I'm sure
I know what happened, but tell me again because I like hearing it, Wick. What happened when Perry Hall got together with Parkville?
48-0.
Chomp, chomp,
in favor
chomp.
Of Perry Hall.
Let's go Gators right
yeah.
there.
Big win for them. It was able to keep them alive in the playoffs, and we will go into that a little bit later.
All right, very good. Now, a couple of games that I know that you wanted to really dive into. How about Howard County first? Howard took on Athelton.
Yeah, Howard Athelton, for me, 40-0 in favor of Howard. It was just dominant. And it was really a statement from the Lions. Athelton had come in winning six in a row. But the one thing I would say is Athelton's offense had struggled a little bit at times throughout this year. They'd only scored two touchdowns in one game this year. So it really was the defense going for them. But the problem was Howard was able to win in the trenches. They were able to rush for over 350 yards, which included a 98-yard touchdown run from Robert Agbai. Demetrius Dawkins, their main running back, was also a workhorse, did a great job. And Howard held the ball a ton. Athelton barely had it in the first half. They only ran 14 plays for 25 yards. Dawkins, by comparison, had 13 rushes for 64 in the first half.
Wow.
They were also able to force two turnovers and a safety on defense. Athelton just playing some really good ball right now. And we were talking a little bit about the 4A North. That's where Howard is right now. They're pretty firmly set in that they're going to be making the playoffs here. Athelton as well also sits atop the 3A East right now. They have a really tough game coming up here against Longreach. That's who is also battling for a playoff spot. They're in the 4 seed right now. So Athelton's going to have a tough end of the year. We'll see if they'll be able to bounce back and be able to beat the Lightning.
That was obviously a humbling loss
yes,
for them.
A little humbling,
and very unexpected. I think a lot of ramifications throughout the state after people saw that final score.
Absolutely.
And then let's go to Montgomery County, shall we? Let's head to MoCo. Paint Branch got together with Blake.
Yeah, Paint Branch was able to pull this one out 35-15. And like we had talked about on previous shows, these are two teams that for me, I think have kind of come a little bit from out of nowhere to have really good seasons. And Paint Branch was able to continue theirs while Blake took a little bit of a step back. Quarterback Norman Douglas Jr. was right in the middle of everything for Paint Branch. He scored the first touchdown to make it 7-0 on a short run. They pushed it to two more scores, advantage through Ishmael Agbodza. Oh, God, got that one wrong. 35-yard touchdown catch. And then there was another short run from Douglas Jr. And this was all in the second quarter to make it 21-0. But then the Bengals were able to get on the goal or on the board, excuse me, with Terrell Sims. He went on a touchdown run. But Blake trailed 21-8 at the half, and they weren't really able to push it any closer. Paint Branch put the game, I guess, out of reach here. Sam Doku had a touchdown catch to make it 28-8. D'Angelo Ferguson ran in a touchdown to make it 35-8, and Blake was able to add a late score here, but it really was all about Paint Branch in that game. And we've talked a little bit about this now. Paint Branch has been able to hold on to that final spot, hold on to that top spot in the 4A North region right now, and they're really looking to be able to have home field advantage all the way through the playoffs. It's huge that they're able to hold it. 4A North for me is about as competitive as it gets, and you want to have home field throughout the playoffs, and Paint Branch right now has that advantage. damage. Blake is still in very good shape. They sit third, and I'm not a perfect with the MPSSAA formula here, but to me it looks like they're probably not going to get caught. So they'll be in the playoffs there, and most likely I think they're going to be finishing third with a tough trip to Linganore to open up the playoffs.
Very, very good. So that's what happened this past weekend. We will talk about what's coming up this weekend a little bit more later on in the show. But we also have some stories to tell you, including a new Impact Player of the Month. We'll do that next when we return. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues on the Maryland News Network.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, on the Maryland News Network. All right, Wick Eisenberg. So we love to tell stories.
Yes.
On this show. It's part of what we do is yes, we're going to give you some scores and schedules, things along those lines.
Standings as well.
Right. But what we really want to do is tell you about some of the really unique, interesting athletes throughout the state of Maryland. One we're going to tell you about during the course of this segment is very special. In fact, so special that he's about to be honored as the Army Impact Player of the Month. Mm-hmm. Now, we have talked about this before, but it's been a little while. Mm-hmm. If we can't refresh, please remind everybody what the Army Impact Player of the Month is, what it's all about, how it can use everything they need to know about the award itself.
Yeah, sure. It's a segment that County Sports Zone runs in conjunction with the U.S. Army, and essentially it's given to an individual who has impacted their team in a positive way, both on and off the field. So a lot of times we get players who are a lot of team captains, players who are leaders, who really try to help their teammates and improve their team's environment, and are really just positive influences and positive role models in their community. There's been a lot of kids that we have highlighted over the past 3 years that have certainly earned the honor, and it's a really cool award, and it's one of the my favorite parts of the job. You can nominate anybody who has been who sends in their scores to County Sports Zone. Any high school in Maryland is eligible, and it can be submitted. It doesn't have to be by a coach. A lot of them are by coaches, but we get some parents, some teachers. We even get the occasional fellow student nominating somebody. And it's a cool award. Each honoree will receive a custom trophy from Crown Trophy, which is based out of Owings Mills, and the opportunity for a videotaped presentation at their school with a member of the U.S. Army. And these events are always just totally awesome. I mean, think back to when you were in high school, how great it would have been to have an event centered around yourself and being highlighted for being really a selfless individual who does a great job on the field and away from.
And that's what makes it so important. This is just not recognizing a great athlete. Like, there are plenty of great athletes throughout the state that do get some level of recognition, and we recognize many of them, but this is about so much more than that.
Yeah, and now it should be noted that some of these kids, and a lot of them, are very good athletes.
No question.
So a lot of them are very talented on the field as well. But we look for kids that really are just making the world a better place, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, this one is a really incredible story.
This one's amazing. Yeah.
Tell me about the winner for this month, Justin Bolton from North County.
Yeah, Justin Bolton, he is a sophomore, and he plays unified tennis. And for those of you who don't know what unified tennis is, or unified sports are in general, it's for student athletes or high schoolers who suffer from either some sort of mental or physical disability, who aren't able to participate in your average high school sports. And so this gives them a great opportunity to compete, to be a part of a team, to learn, play sports. And so I love unified sports. I love it whenever we do anything on our website with them. And this one, Justin, and this was a pretty competitive month, I'll be honest with you, as somebody who's involved with this. There were a lot of good candidates, but Justin really did shine above the rest. He's a sophomore, like I said, and he's had it real tough. He survived two bouts of brain cancer already in his life.
Wow.
And it's just an amazing story. He was nominated, though, by his coach, Lisa Magnus, who has this is the second time, actually, a player that she has nominated has won. She used to coach basketball at Severna Park. She had a player there win. But Justin, to read a little bit from her nomination email that she sent in to me, said he's playing unified tennis, and it's just amazing to see. He's doing a great job and has made our other student-athletes more aware of this horrible disease that he's fighting. And something that really stood out to me is that she said the way the other student-athletes look after him and care for him is amazing. His presence is really changing the team culture a lot, and he's really been, through speaking with Lisa as well as the assistant coach Marion Schultz, who's been around high school athletics forever, he's really become the heartbeat of North County High School. And to give you a little bit more about Justin, like I said, he's been fighting cancer for the past 2 years. He entered high school requiring a wheelchair to get around, which, wow. You know, think about in high school, you're battling, trying to find your way around hallways, you're trying to make new friends, and he had to deal with this, and then so much more. You know, he started school, like I said, in a wheelchair. It brought a lot of looks and a lot of people saying, oh, who's that new kid in a wheelchair? But he would sort of greet them with smiles and a lot of humor.
So
that
cool.
was something that really shined through. And talking to his two coaches is how funny he is. He's apparently just a total riot and a good time. But anyway, he started off high school being able to go to the school and be in classes and everything, but his health declined and his cancer came back. He was forced to take a leave from school, splitting time between being at home in the hospital and though he wasn't physically able to be at the school himself, gotta love modern technology. It made it possible for him to still be able to get to North County. They had some sort of robot walking around with a FaceTime aspect of it
That's
as well.
So great.
You could see
That's
his face.
So great.
So he was able to, I guess, go around school. I don't know if he was controlling the robot. How do you skip class if you have a robot? Do you think that's able to do that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe
all of a sudden you see the robot
him.
Wheeling yeah. out. You're yeah. just like, what are you doing?
Where is Justin yeah, right. going? But yeah, they talked a lot about apparently he would go around the school, the robot would go, and like it does stick out.
It's like there's an episode of South Park that
Seriously.
Is about this concept. I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah, but anyway, he's walking around with the robot going around high school at the school, and the students would stop it and say hi, and it would encourage him to keep going, and apparently everyone, it really brought
That's
more
so
attention
cool.
to it. Yeah.
That's so cool.
But, you know, things got worse for him. The low point was this past summer, and it sounded like it came very close to taking his life, but he kept fighting, and eventually his cancer is now gone into remission. So he was able to gain up the strength towards the end of the summer and be able to attend school his sophomore year. And Justin, who is an avid sports fan, really wanted to play on one of North County's teams, and Unified Tennis seemed like the best place for him to start. And speaking with Schultz, to quote her, she said that Unified Tennis really gave him a sense of comfort and belonging in the school. He was still pretty weak and unbalanced when he started. He would come to practice and still give it all he had. The first day he only hit a few balls, but by the end of the week, he was hitting several over the net, and now he's able to serve and score points with his partner, and once again, apparently, it's just a wonderful sight to watch. And not only has Bolton gotten to the point now where he can participate, he started to excel as well. He's a part of a four partner pairs that are going to be participating that have participated at the MPSSAA State Championships on November 1st. He also won a bronze medal as well at the Special Olympics
Incredible.
Ball Fest.
Incredible. Yeah. That's Justin Bolton from North County, the Army Impact Player of the Month. Look, it's just awesome. Just incredible. For people that want to nominate someone, what do they need to do, Wick, in order to get their nominations in?
They need to contact me. So I'm going to give out my personal info here. Contact me at weisenberg@countysportszone.com, and I'll spell it out, weisenberg at countysportszone.com with the subject line Army Impact Player Nomination. And like I said, we're looking for kids who aren't just the best athletes, but who also make a positive impact on their team and their community.
Awesome. Awesome. County Sports Zone provides schedules, scores, and standings for public high schools across Maryland. Get scores from every game every night by 11 p.m. Varsity, junior varsity, freshmen. Never miss the score with County Sports Zone. We've got more stories to tell next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues right here on the Maryland News Network.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
So your son got home safe last night? Tom said he had a flat tire.
Yeah, he was out past curfew and got stuck on Route 1, but Liberty Mutual went out and took care of it for him.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, a flat, jump, or tow. It's no problem no matter where or when with their roadside assistance.
What was he doing out so late anyway?
Getting himself grounded for a month.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Optional 24-hour roadside assistance coverage. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
ABC Wednesday.
On one night,
the heart of country music beats stronger than ever.
The CMA Awards, with performances by
Garth Brooks,
Luke Bryan,
Miranda Lambert,
Thomas Rhett,
Pink.
Woo!
and one-of-a-kind collaboration.
Reba McEntire and Kelsey Ballerini.
Tim McGraw and Faith Hill.
Maren Morris and Niall Horan.
Plus, the biggest stars unite in the most powerful show open ever.
Don't you love country music?
The CMA Awards, live.
Wednesday at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Here's a list of reasons why AT&T Prepaid is a great prepaid choice, according to Julius and Deb.
When you switch to AT&T Prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
When you switch to AT&T Prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
I just said that.
Well, it's worth repeating.
AT&T Prepaid has no annual contracts.
And AT&T's reliable network.
There's no hidden fees.
No credit checks.
No compromises.
No strings attached.
AT&T Prepaid has plans for people who like great prices.
Plans for people who like great deals.
Flexibility.
Reliability.
Customers named Deb.
Customers named Julius.
Customers in Albuquerque.
Customers in Springfield.
Which one?
All of them.
The list is long.
Really long.
Thanks, Julius. Thanks, Deb.
You're welcome, announcer guy.
No matter your reason, switch to AT&T Prepaid to get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free and all the advantages of AT&T's reliable network with no compromises.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Requires new line of service, $45 or $65 plan and auto pay. Reliable network claim for third-party sources. Fees, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Details at att.com/prepaid.
The Sports Talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. All right, Wick Eisenberg, we've got some more stories to tell. And look, we're going to talk some more football before the show is over, but let's continue to discuss some sports that are not football, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
It's championship season, or as the kids call it, championship SZN. I'm still getting used to that whole concept. I don't understand how it works.
You should get that going on Twitter. I don't know.
Championship SZN. I like it. Yeah, right? I know. I wish somebody would use it for the first time.
Yeah.
And I know there's some championships that have been given out, including at the golf level. And I happened to catch word that Marriott's Ridge was a big golf winner. Tell me all about Marriott's Ridge and what they did, the 1A, 2A level.
Yeah, Marriott's Ridge from Howard County for me was sort of the story that came out of the golf state championships, which is always a great event. I encourage you to go to it. I've been the last couple years, and it's always so well done. They play down at College Park's course, and it's just a great atmosphere for the kids. But anyway, Marriott's Ridge has sort of turned into the golf school in Maryland. They've been able to win six state championships, this being their sixth one in a row, and that was at the 1A, 2A level. But what was really cool about what Marriott's Ridge was able to do this year is not only did they win the 1A, 2A team title, they also won the 1A, 2A boys individual title and the girls individual title, the triple crown, if you will.
Wow.
It's the first time Marriott's Ridge has won all three in the same year.
What are they doing at Marriott's Ridge? What's going on there?
Well, we'll go into it a little bit more here, but they've got it's turned into a little factory out there in western Howard County, and they claimed the team title with 625 shots over the two-day tourney, which was 60 better than second-place Kent Island. So not only did they win, they won pretty easily. It's actually the second-largest margin of victory at states for Marriott's Ridge during this amazing historic run that they're on of six straight titles. And at the individual level, David Stevens from Marriott's Ridge, he won the boys' championship, but boy, did he barely win it. He shot a 153. He beat out Jake Nemeth from North Hartford, Brett Bale from Smithsburg, and William Creary from Falston, who are all at 154. Wow. One shot behind him. So, geez, it was razor thin there. Faith McElvain won the girls from Marriott's Ridge. She had a little bit of an easier time. She finished with 147, while Taylor Judge from Kent Island, who had a great tournament as well, shot a 158. I mean, adding to this story for me about Marriott's Ridge and how much of a, you know, like I said, a little bit of a factory this has turned into for their golf program is that Stevens and McElvain, who are sort of the centerpieces here, obviously they won individual state championships. They're older. They're seniors. Neither of them even participated at last year's state championships.
Wow.
For them. They didn't even get to play. Now, they were there. They got to see what was going on, and I guess maybe that helps, but they had never played at a state championship
before.
And here
they are.
And here they are, state champs a year later. I don't know what it is that they're doing out there. Obviously doing a great job. It should also be noted that Alex Pack and Akash Marikoth was also on that team for Marriott's Ridge to pull out the win. And like I said, it's pretty unprecedented. Six state titles in a row. Nobody's ever done it. It's just an amazing feat, and Marriott's Ridge Golf is has turned into the premier program for me in the state right now.
That is incredible. That is truly incredible. Hey, who won the 3A-4A title?
So the 3A-4A went to Whitman from Montgomery County, 605, and then Churchville had a 614. So Whitman was able to unseat Churchill, who I believe had won it last year. But Whitman was led by Amanda Levy. She shot 149, while Jordan Cornelius, Dugan McCabe, and Kyle Nordheimer sort of rounded out their team of four in order to win that championship. Individually, Bailey Davis from North Point was able to win the girls' title with 146, with Levy from Whitman finishing second. And then Brad Riley of Sherwood won the 4A-3A title with a 145. Dylan Rotter finished second. He's from Churchill with a 147. But yeah, it's always, like I said, just a great event. I highly encourage all of you to go to the golf championships. It's always very well done. Eric Michael from the Washington County Supervisor of Athletics puts on a great tournament. The MPSSA does a great job. And for me, it's one of my favorite state final attempts to go to. And I'm not even a golf fan. I don't even watch golf, but cool. I love going.
That's very, very cool. All right, let's switch gears. You, in addition to your responsibilities at countysportszone.com, you also every now and then are contributing, I think once a week, right?
Once a week, and then you also got me in the print stories
at
as well.
PressBoxOnline.com and sure. PressBox's print magazine. And this week, I saw a really cool story that you wrote about a girls' soccer team that looks like they are chugging along going towards the state playoffs. What do we need to know about the Hereford Bulls?
Yeah, I think Hereford is going to be a team to keep an eye on going into the playoffs. I really like their chances of going deep into the postseason. They're 12-2-1 entering the playoffs. They haven't lost since September 15th. That's a 9-game unbeaten run, and they've actually won 8 straight contests. And they won a wild one against Sparrows Point on October 24th to win the Baltimore County Championship. They went behind 2-0 early in the first half. They were able to battle back, make it 2-1, but they weren't able to really break through until there was 3:45 left in the game. They made it 2-2. Peyton Patrick, a freshman, tied it up, and then with 46 seconds left, the Bulls were able to pull out the win through senior Kara Schmidt. It's a huge result for Hereford. It's a big confidence booster because Sparrows Point, as we've talked about before, is really a big powerhouse, has turned into a big powerhouse in the girls' soccer scene. They've won 3 straight Baltimore County championships. They've won 4 straight state titles. This is a 1A school. They don't play like a 1A school.
Wow.
They're able to beat pretty much anyone. It's huge for Hereford that they were able to do this. And talking to their coach, Brad Duvall, he was pretty confident that this was a team that was going to be able to compete in 2017. Last year, in 2016, they were able to reach the 2A North Regional Final, where they lost to River Hill, who went on to win the state championship. They played a close contest with them, but it was a team comprised mostly of juniors, with the sort of standout being Danielle Maggio, who was an all-state forward for them last year. And she was expected to sort of be the key player, the go-to player for them this year, but early in the preseason, she got injured, was done for the season. So now all of a sudden, the Bulls' preparation is totally thrown out of whack. And it made room for Patrick, who I mentioned earlier, Peyton Patrick, a freshman who Duvall said, you know, originally was like, she's my one for the future. She's going to be able to learn from Maggio. This is going to be great for her. She's going to have a smaller limited role. I'll be able to ease her into this. Well, not anymore. She had to go into the starting lineup, and she has responded. She's turned into the centerpiece of this dynamic offense that they have. They run a 4-3-3 with 3 forwards up top, and she leads the way, leads the line. She has 22 goals and 14 assists. And like I said, they run a 4-3-3, an excellent partnership that she's developed with juniors Rachel Saunders and Lily Robertson. It's really an explosive offense. They were able to put 5 past Delaney, 4 past Perry Hall, which I know you don't like.
I'm not thrilled about that, but it's still very impressive.
Yeah, and then they were able to put 3 past Sparrows Point, as I mentioned earlier. Very dynamic stuff, and unfortunately, I know you don't like talking about it, but beating Perry Hall was huge for this team. Perry Hall's a top team in girls soccer, and it was sort of their first win. It was their first win in Brad Duvall's tenure of 6 years there. It was a big confidence booster. And going ahead into the playoffs here, it's been a while for the Bulls. I think they're kind of due. They haven't won a regional title since 2014. Their lone state title came back in 2000. So this is a program and a team that I think is due for some glory here. And I think At first game is going to be against Eastern Tech here. It's going to be on Friday, November 3rd. They're going to be hosting them at 6 o'clock there up in Hereford. And this is a team. It's not an easy game for Hereford at all. Eastern Tech drew them earlier this year when they weren't quite firing on all cylinders. But still, that's a team that they weren't able to beat. If they get past Eastern Tech, though, I really like their odds of winning their region. They have Gwynn Park, Crossland, or Patterson from Baltimore City in the regional final will be waiting for them. Those are all teams that they should be able to take on and handle. And talking to Duvall, this is kind of the vision he had for the year. Like I mentioned earlier, they lost to River Hill in the 2A North Regional Final last year. It was a well-contested game, but he kind of looked at River Hill, who has brought everyone back from that team. They were able to win a state championship at the 2A level without a senior last year. And he kind of looked at it and said, okay, we got to somehow catch up to this team, because if we're going to be able to win a state championship like I think we're capable of doing, that's who we're going to have to run through. Like I said, they played in the regional final last year. They redid the brackets this year, and they're no longer in the same region. The only way River Hill would play Hereford would be in the state championship, and obviously there's a lot of soccer to be played, but it would not shock me if that ended up being a state final and Hereford would get a chance to, you know, get a little redemption.
Great stuff. Read more about it at PressBoxOnline.com. This football season, get the latest MPSSAA schedules, brackets, and more at CountySportsZone.com. We'll head down to the Bayside Conference next. This is High School Sportsline, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues on the Maryland News Network.
For many businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical to choose the right place to post your jobs. You need qualified candidates fast and on budget, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Independent research shows Indeed delivers 6 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and even set up screener questions to help you zero in on qualified candidates. You can review applicants, take notes, and schedule interviews, all from an easy-to-use online dashboard. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job, with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Find out why over 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Okay, clogged pores. I've had it. You think I don't notice your pesky blackheads? It's all I see. Why else would I be dodging photos, yelling back up, zoom out, not so close? But now, I've got Biore Deep Cleansing Charcoal Pore Strips. With natural charcoal, they pluck out stubborn dirt, oil, and even blackheads in just one strip. So go ahead, snap away. With Biore, I've finally found the skin of my dreams. Biore, free your pores.
There's absolutely nothing traditional about my small business. And when it comes to technology, I need someone who understands my unique needs. That's where my Dell Small Business Technology Advisor comes in. With one phone call, he sets me up with tailored products and services. And when my advisor is focused on my tech, I can focus on my small business.
Get end-to-end solutions with the help of a Dell Advisor, including PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Call an advisor today at 877-BY-DELL.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. Joining us now, let's make our weekly trip down to the Bayside Conference, and we'll chat with Mike Bradley. He is the host of Overtime Live at sfmsports.net. Mike, it is so good to talk to you, and obviously a huge, huge game this past week. Tell me all about what happened with Kent Island and North Caroline.
Yeah, a lot on the line, certainly in the 2A East with the number one team in North Carolina, number two Kent Island. And the question was going to be that we know how good North Carolina is. How does Kent Island stack up against the number one team, and can they go on the road and get the win? Well, as it turns out, North Carolina, they were pretty dominant in this one, defeating Kent Island 35-14. They held Kent Island to under 40 yards rushing, and that's very rare that Kent Island gets held down like that in the run game. And you know, North Carolina's defense really did a number on Kent Island's offense. And this one didn't turn out so good to begin with for Kent Island, because on their first possession, their senior quarterback fumbled the snap, turned it over to North Carolina, who proceeded to score to go up 7-0 right away in that one. And they got out to a 21-0 lead at halftime And, you know, by the time Ken Ireland was able to catch up and make some adjustments, it was simply too late at that point. So, you know, these teams may play each other again in the playoffs. And certainly while I think that Ken Ireland will make some adjustments and play better, I just think, frankly, North Carolina is the clearly the better team here. And my thoughts certainly came to fruition in terms of how this game was going to turn out.
Hey, Mike, Wick here. So sticking with Kent Island, they have a big game this week with their county rival Queen Anne's. We've talked about both of these teams a lot throughout the year. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think the young Queen Anne's team is going to be ready to take on Kent Island in this passing attack?
Yeah, I think they will be, and I think that this is a team that really has found themselves. They've put in the hard work. They've gotten a lot of experience, and they've been able to win ball games along the way in some different fashion. And they've been in a fair amount of close games this year, which is different from what they're used to. But I think it's good with a young group that they've learned to win in tight games, and that's so important because this one is likely to be a tight game. Having it at home will certainly help as well. I just think that with Kent Island's experience, I think that if this game got to a shootout, and both teams for the most part have pretty good defenses, so I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case. But if it did get into a shootout, I do think Kent Island has more offensive firepower. I think they have the advantage a little bit in the trenches. They have more speed, and then they've got a senior quarterback compared to Queen Anne's, who has a freshman quarterback. And I do think Kent Island ought to be able to make some plays in the passing game. But that said, would I be surprised if Queen Anne's was right in it, you know, at the start of the fourth quarter? Absolutely not. And if you're Kent Island, you obviously want to try to, you know, get an early lead in this one as fast as you possibly can, because you don't want the Lions hanging around. You don't want that crowd hanging around. But guys, this game has 2A East playoffs written all over it. It's not just about rivalry, but the winner of this game will be likely that fourth seed in a 2A East. And so whoever loses goes home. And probably unfathomable to think Queen Anne's would be in this position at this point in the year, given the young team, but they have done it. And with Kent Island, they've lost 2 or 3 against some really good teams. And obviously they need to bounce back and get the win and give themselves a chance with the playoffs.
He is Mike Bradley, the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net. He joins us here on High School Sports Line. Mike, before we go any further with what's coming up this week, let's go back and revisit everything else that happened this past week. Give us a rundown of the important games from the Bayside Conference and just really where we're at now as far as the playoff picture is concerned, as we really are down to it when it comes to the regular season.
Well, I'll start off with a great story with J.M. Bennett, a great story in the sense that the tragedy hit the program with the loss of their head coach's wife due to cancer earlier last week. That said, the team, not only did they, of course, honor their coach and his late wife, but they also had their early 80s state championship teams at the game on Saturday, receiving rings for the state championships that they had not received before. They just didn't get rings. They decided to see if they couldn't do something about that, and they did. Also, one of the players on that team is a fallen hero in the Army, and they remembered his memory. So you talk about a mix of emotions. Well, in this one, J.M. Bennett gets down 21-0 in the first quarter to Stephen Decatur. They come back and score 30 unanswered to win 30-21. Really a great story. So that all said, J.M. Bennett has solidified themselves in the 3A East. They will go to the playoffs. Now it's a question of whether it'll be a 2-seed or a 3-seed. But they get it done in an important game for them. Also, Colonel Richardson, they get it done. They win convincingly over Washington. And only the second time in their school history that they've had a 5-game winning streak the way they've had. And they have pretty much, it's not 100%, but they pretty much solidified themselves for only their second playoff berth in the school history, which goes over 50 years. Also, we talked about Queen Anne setting themselves up for a potential 2A East playoff berth. Their win over Parkside enabled that to be the case. It was a back-and-forth game, but they were able to pull away later in the second half, 33-24. But Parkside running back Donald Ogie had over 200 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns, and he's certainly one of the best backs. But Parkside, their playoff chances are dashed. Cambridge out of the 1A as well. I just mentioned Colonel Richardson. Cambridge got a big win over Snow Hill, so they stay alive right now. They are in a dead heat with Bow Manor in that fourth spot.
Okay, so now where are we at going into this weekend? What are the games coming up that matter? What do we have to look forward to as far as playoff push is concerned?
Yeah, well, as I just mentioned with the 2A East, the winner of Kent Island Queen Anne's will get that fourth spot for the playoffs. So there's a lot on the line, not just rivalry in that one, and that ought to be a really good one. In addition, I mentioned J.M. Bennett. They still need to win. They've got a tough game against Wicomico. They're going to make the playoffs, as I mentioned. The question is, will it be a two-seed or a three-seed? So if they're able to win this game right now, I think that likely based on what I'm seeing, they ought to be able to hold on to that second seed, which is important because that means they'll be able to host a first-round playoff game. Longreach, who's in the fourth spot, they play Athelton, and it looks like they'll lose. So all Bennett has to worry about is Chesapeake and Anne Arundel County, and their game this week, that's a toss-up. So if Bennett takes care of business, they'll be good. The 1A is the one that's the most interesting, guys, because, you know, Colonel Richardson's in that second seed right now. They take on North Carolina. They're not going to win that game. That's just not going to happen. North Carolina's way too good, and North Carolina has a lot on the line. And, you know, we talk about them. They're definitely going to playoffs, but Hartford Tech isn't too far behind them. So North Carolina doesn't want to take any chances. They need to win to hold on to that 1A spot for sure. But back to the 1A, though, Colonel's likely going to lose that game. So we talk about that. Cambridge, they've got a tough game against rival Easton. They have to win their game. Perryville, they're in the third spot. Cambridge is looking above them, but Perryville and Bow Manor play each other. Well, Cambridge and Bow Manor are tied exactly at 39 points for that fourth spot.
Huh.
So, boy, there's a lot on the line there. If it should turn out that Cambridge and Bow Manor tie, if they say they both lose, it'll come down to bonus points at that point. And right now, Cambridge has a three-point advantage coming in to this one. So, you know, if you're Cambridge, win and try to take care of business. And with a win against a 2A team in Easton, that should get them in. That shouldn't be a problem. There is apparently a doomsday scenario, shockingly enough, where Colonel Richardson with a loss could end up on the outside looking in, even at 6-4.
Wow.
So the 1A East has a ton of scenarios, guys, quite honestly. But if you win, you do a much better job of helping yourselves. But Colonel, as we talked about, it's not likely to happen. In Cambridge, they're going to have a tough battle against Easton this Friday. So who the heck knows?
I believe like the 15th tiebreaker is who skipped class the least, yeah. Something like
yeah,
that.
Right.
Like I think that's when you get down to about the 15th tiebreaker, that's what it is that you're looking for is, you know, like who actually bothered to show
GPA.
Up.
Yeah,
yeah, something GPA. Like that.
Yeah,
no doubt
it's crazy. It's the first time, guys, I've had to dig deep into the MPSSAA website to find out about tiebreakers.
Wow, that is crazy. All right. So, Mike Bradley, obviously it's going to be a big week for you guys with high school football on Friday night and with Overtime Live. For people that don't know about the show and what it is that you guys are doing, remind them about it.
Yeah, well, it is rivalry week in the Bayside Conference. So you'll have, except for Kent County, all the teams will be playing their arch rivals this week. We do have the War on the Shore. That is Queen Anne's and Kent Island. That game will be in Centerville at Queen Anne's. We'll air the game beginning with a pregame show at 6:45, kickoff at 7 on the Mid-Shore on 94.3 Winx FM, also worldwide and streaming at sfmsports.net. And then, of course, my power poll, my What We Learned segment, and my picks can be found by going to sfmsports.net. Click on High Schools and Overtime Live. You'll find that. But then after the game between Kent Island and Queen Anne's, we'll analyze the games, we'll talk to the coaches, and then we'll look ahead to playoffs. And obviously we'll be doing a lot of scoreboard watching on Twitter to see what some of the other teams out of the Bayside are doing to see how they affect the Bayside teams with playoffs. But the hope is that all five teams right now that are either in or have a chance of being in, that they make the playoffs for 2017, but we'll see.
No doubt. He is Mike Bradley. Appreciate him joining us once again for a trip through the Bayside Conference. When we come back in, Wick Eisenberg is going to take us through all of the games to watch in Maryland public school football this weekend as we roll along right here on High School Sports Line, powered by the County Sports Zone, and it continues next on the Maryland News Network.
ABC Wednesday.
On one night,
the heart of country music beats stronger than ever.
The CMA Awards, with performances by
Garth Brooks,
Luke Bryan,
Miranda Lambert,
Thomas Rhett,
Pink,
woo!
And one-of-a-kind collaborations.
Reba McEntire and Kelsey Ballerini,
Tim McGraw and Faith Hill,
Maren Morris and Niall Horan.
Plus, the biggest stars unite in the most powerful show open ever.
Don't you love country music?
The CMA Awards, live
Wednesday at 8/7 Central on ABC.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
So your son got home safe last night? Tom said he had a flat tire.
Yeah, he was out past curfew and got stuck on Route 1, but Liberty Mutual went out and took care of it for him.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, a flat, jump, or tow. It's no problem no matter where or when with their roadside assistance.
What was he doing out so late anyway?
Getting himself grounded for a month.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Optional 24-hour roadside assistance coverage. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
If you've fallen behind on your taxes, you know that the IRS is already coming for their money. And they'll get it, too, by garnishing your wages or maybe even taking your home or business. They call it enforced compliance. And you'd better watch out because the penalties and interest compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Solving tax issues is all they do. One call to Optima starts the process to stop the demand letters and stop aggressive collection actions. They get to work immediately, fighting to protect your assets and helping you put your tax problems behind you. The IRS writes off millions every year, and Optima knows all the ins and outs of the IRS's tax assistance programs that could save you thousands. So what are you waiting for? Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back in. This is High School Sports Line. Glenn Clark, Wick Eisenberg for one more segment. And Wick, this is always what we do at the end, is we really are getting down to things at the
crunch time.
Teams need to make sure they make their moves now in order to get into the playoffs throughout the state in high school football. So let's talk about five games that are significant this week. And we'll begin with the game that we just talked about with Mike Bradley from SFMSports.net. And that's the one between Ken Island and Queen Anne's. Tell me a little bit about how you see that one.
Yeah, well, this is a huge rivalry matchup. These are the only two public high schools in Queen Anne's County. And when you play a rival, it's obviously very emotional and big. But when you throw in these playoff implications that both teams are going to be going up against as well, it's going to make for an electric atmosphere at Queen Anne's. Both teams are 7-2. But in the 2A East standings, Kent Island currently sits fifth, trailing fourth place Queen Anne by a mere 0.45 points.
Wow.
It really is win and you're in for either of these teams. And Kent Island has sort of been the team that I think has gotten more plaudits throughout the year, has had a little bit more attention. They got off to a great start, but they've faltered these last two out of the last 3 weeks. They dropped the contest to Oakdale and North Carolina, which, for the record, no shame in those losses. Those are two teams that are going to the playoffs that have legitimate chances at regional championships, at state championships. So they've been playing good teams. They just haven't been able to pull out those games. Kent Island has an excellent passing attack, like we've talked about. They have a really good senior quarterback in Trent Jackson. He's thrown for 1,577 yards this year, 14 touchdowns. He's played to a QBR of 101.7.
Impressive.
Yeah, Sean Mooney has been his main target, 575 yards receiving, 40 catches. J.C. Getz has hauled in 17 passes for 305, and that passing attack has been complemented by a good running attack. Dylan Finley has 647 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns. Queen Anne's, as we spoke with Mike Bradley a little bit before, this is a young group, but they've been able to pull off a five-game win streak that's all of a sudden see them catapult from a 2-2 start to now being in a playoff spot. So this is a team that's had to grow up fast, and they've been able to do it. And speaking with their coach, I mean, a big aspect for them of the team's improvement has been the progress of freshman quarterback Cyrus McGowan. He played an excellent game last week against Parkside. He rushed for two scores, finished the night 6-for-8 on passing attempts for 66 yards. But he's also had some help on offense. He's been able to have a strong running game that's done by committee. Ryan Muller was the back of choice last week, if you will. 11 carries for 99 yards. Hassan Biggis also had a big effort for the Lions with 80 yards on 11 carries. I mean, it's going to really be, as Mike talked about, I really do see the keys to the game, what he was talking about. I agree with him. You know, Kent Island, they won an early lead. They want to take the crowd out of it. They do have a senior quarterback. You got to think that that's some sort of advantage, but Cyrus McGowan hasn't been playing like a freshman a lot lately, so we'll see. This would be a huge moment for the Lions if they're able to pull this one off at home over Kent Island, their big rival.
And as Mike Bradley mentioned, it is the game of the week this week, 7 o'clock on Friday night. All right, now let's head out west.
Yes, two teams that share a stadium.
Yeah, it gets personal out there.
Have only one loss. This is a big deal.
Yes.
In this part of the state. Tell me about Allegheny and Fort Hill.
Yeah, and first off, if you've never been to Greenway Avenue Stadium, you should go. It's about as impressive a stadium as I've seen in Maryland. But anyway, Allegheny is technically the home team for this contest, the away team for this contest, and they are in first place in the 1A West standings. They're ahead of Fort Hill, who sits in second. The Campers are 8-1, and they've won their last seven games since losing to Chestnut Ridge from Pennsylvania in week two. And Carson Robinette, who's a player we've mentioned before, is having an amazing individual season here for Allegheny. 1,576 yards rushing and 27 touchdowns, all without a fumble. It's got to be nice if you're Allegheny.
Yeah, no
just
doubt,
hand it to
right?
him and you don't have to worry.
Everything's good.
He's joined the team, but he hasn't been alone. The team's rushing attack, Elijah Llewellyn, has also been excellent. 796 yards rushing, seven scores. He's also the team's top receiver, Llewellyn is, with 287 yards and four touchdowns there. Cameron Bratton, though he has a lot of great running backs to work with, has played excellently as well. He has a 101 QBR. And then on defense, Christian Welch has been the centerpiece of the Allegheny's defense with 57 tackles, while Robinette, because I guess, you know, he has to do everything, does everything right here, 11 sacks as well.
I mean, if it works, it works.
If it works, it works. Yeah, so, I mean, you know Fort Hill's going to try to come up with something to shut him down. And Fort Hill, also 8-1. Their loss happened 2 weeks ago against Friendship Collegiate Academy from Washington, D.C. For the Sentinels, who have won the past four MPSSA 1A state titles, it was pretty shocking. It doesn't happen often. They've only lost twice since 2012. And Friendship Collegiate is a very good team, so no shame there. But the team got back to winning ways last week by pounding Mountain Ridge 49-3. And Fort Hill has a very well-known rushing attack. The lead back last week was Tyreek Powell, who finished with the most yards on the ground and also scored on touchdown runs of 54 and 43. He was one of three Sentinels to eclipse 100 yards rushing, though. So it's not like they were really just handing it off to him and saying, it's your job now. Troy Banks has also been their key guy all year. He eclipsed 1,000 yards rushing for the second straight season. And Logan Johnson also had a big play in this game. Quarterback, 61-yard run, which was his first touchdown of the year. As you said, in this part of the state, this is just a massive event. And I'm very curious to see who comes out on top, who gains home field advantage through the playoffs. Though, as we have mentioned, they have the same stadium.
So. That's right. 12:30 on Saturday. Now to the Uckback. Let's head to Cecil County. Bohemia Manor, easy for me to say.
Bow Manor, if you're struggling with that.
I talk for a living, so I, of course, can say it easily. They travel to Perryville.
Yeah, Poe Manor, we talked about it already with Mike a little bit. The 1A East standings are so congested right now. If the season were to end, though, Bow Manor would be on the outside looking in. But with a win this week, that should be able to catapult them into a playoff spot. The Eagles are going to rely heavily on their quarterback, Johnny Knight, who has been a real spark on offense. He's been a dual threat throughout the year. He's thrown for 819 yards and nine touchdowns. He's rushed for 356 and five scores. He's a really, really exciting player. He also gets it done on defense, which I doesn't happen often in high school. 58 tackles.
It's good to see that. Wow.
Second most on the team. So he's just a real key player. He's going to have to play a great game for them to win. But it hasn't just been him. Cam Garcia and Jair Caldwell have been his top targets. Garcia's hauled in 430 yards. Caldwell's at 382. They have another good rusher in Bobby McLennan, who has 497 yards on the ground, while Devin Gatewood has also been strong with 329 yards on the ground. The leader on defense, though, has been James Baglio, 60 solo tackles for him. Though, like I said, Knight's right behind him. So Bow Manor, they're going to enter with this 5-4 record to take on Perryville, who holds the third playoff spot right now in the 1A East. So they're sort of at the top of all this congestion here. Quarterback Davon Montz has been excellent for them. He's thrown for over 1,000 yards, and he has 11 touchdowns. His main two targets have been Timmy Clark and Caleb Robinson, 276 yards from Clark, 250 from Robinson. He's really been able to spread the ball around, but these two have been his main go-tos, and they have three touchdowns each. It's going to be a really good, exciting game with tons of playoff implications on the line in the 1A East.
No doubt about that, and that is a 7 o'clock game Friday.
Friday night at Perryville. We're going over the five games to watch for this weekend here on High School Sports Line. Let's now go to Baltimore City, where Edmondson is hosting Mervo.
Yeah, Mervo is a team that we've talked about a lot this year. They've had a very exciting season because, you know, obviously they went to Ohio to play a game. We talked about
they're hanging out with NFL football players.
And then they are hanging out with NFL defensive backs. Anthony Levine has sort of adopted them. And I even linked the story from Pressbox written by you. So you're on the Wikipedia now. You wrote about it for Pressbox. But anyway,
it's my big break. I've been waiting for it.
Mervo, you know, has had this exciting year. However, right now they sit on the outside looking in at the 4A North. They topped Digital Harbor last week, 35-6. But they're going to need to win, and they're going to need a little help as well from Catonsville, who are playing fourth place. Perry Hall, who I know you don't want to see get caught.
I got no worries about that. No worries.
Perry Hall, who Catonsville, I know, is having a rebuilding year, so they're going to need a big effort from Catonsville's young guys. But Mervo, it's been an exciting season regardless. They're going to look to see if they can continue it. It has to start with a win, though, at Edmondson. Edmondson's in a different spot. I feel like sort of quietly in the Baltimore City play. They haven't gotten a whole lot of attention, but they put together a really nice year. They've already qualified for the postseason. They hold the third slot, though that could change depending on what happens in other games. Deshaun Ruffin is a wide receiver that they have that is absolutely special. He has 889 yards receiving and 11 touchdowns, all while dealing with being double teamed pretty much every single game, having two guys on him, and they still throw him the ball and he still makes plays. So he's been fantastic. Kevin Martin, their running back, has led the Red Storm on the ground, 798 yards and 7 touchdowns. LaRon Taylor on defense has been their standout, 77 tackles and 2 fumble recoveries. For me, I mean, Edmondson does not need this game. Mervo really needs it. It really could go either way. Edmondson's always very tough at home, so we'll see. This will be a fun one to watch.
That's a 3 p.m. game Friday afternoon at, of course, Edmondson. And we finish up in Anne Arundel County, Chesapeake taking on Northeast,
which is dubbed the Dina Bowl, which is actually might be my favorite rivalry game name. I love that. Both teams from Pasadena. I've always loved the Dina Bowl. Chesapeake is close to clinching a playoff spot in the 3A East. They sit at third. They are hoping, though, to avenge last season's Dina Bowl defeat against Northeast, and a win like that would catapult them for sure into the playoffs. Tony Watkins has been their key man on offense, 10 rushing touchdowns, 680 yards. Colby McNulty's also been excellent at the running back position, while quarterback Dylan Young has thrown for over 1,000 yards and has 6 touchdowns himself. Dante Thompson has 36.5 tackles for them, while Tyler Kirk has picked off 3 passes. He's going to be somebody that Northeast is going to want to keep an eye on. Northeast is 4-5 right now, but they still have a good chance of qualifying if they win this game. So it's another one of these ones, like Kent Island and Queen Anne's rivalry game with playoff implications. There's nothing better. Their key guy is going to be Demonte Snowden. He's rushed for 999 yards, so I like his chances of getting 1,000 for the year. But he has 12 rushing touchdowns as well, and Anthony Villanotti, their quarterback, has run for 235 yards. Marcus Strieb has 4 rushing scores, and they have a very good player on defense in Jason Terry with 53 individual tackles. They also have a very dynamic defensive line. 5 different Eagles have recorded sacks. But for me, this is just another one of those rivalry games that you're going to want to watch that has huge playoff implications.
No question about it. 6:30 on Friday night at Northeast. Wick Eisenberg, appreciate it as always, man. Great work. Find his stuff at countysportszone.com. Thanks to Steve Clendenin, our producer. You can listen to this show anytime by downloading our podcast. Go to MarylandNewsNetwork.net and click Audio On Demand. This has been High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Here's a list of reasons why AT&T prepaid is a great prepaid choice, according to Julius and Deb.
When you switch to AT&T prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
When you switch to AT&T prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
I just said that.
Well, it's worth repeating.
AT&T prepaid has no annual contracts.
And AT&T's reliable network.
There's no hidden fees.
No credit checks.
No compromises.
No strings attached.
AT&T prepaid has plans for people who like great prices.
Plans for people who like great deals.
Flexibility.
Reliability.
Customers named Deb.
Customers named Julius.
Customers in Albuquerque.
Customers in Springfield.
Which one?
All of them.
The list is long.
Really long.
Thanks, Julius. Thanks, Deb.
You're welcome, announcer guy.
No matter your reason, switch to AT&T prepaid to get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free and all the advantages of AT&T's reliable network with no compromises.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Requires new line of service, $45 or $65 plan and auto pay. Reliable network claim per third-party sources. Fees, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Details at att.com/prepaid.